This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We stopped upon the blessings of the fruits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and specifically the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalima tayyiba, the most glorious word that travels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of qawlu la ilaha illallah, about the fruits of kalimatu tawheed, fi hayatina, inside our lives, wa fil akhirah. As Allah mentioned, yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati ad-dunya wa fil akhirah. That Allah gives steadfastness inside this dunya and inside al akhirah. And specifically, we paused and we stopped that inside the grave, that a person is given tathbit, given steadfastness to say this kalima of la ilaha illallah inside one's grave. When a question is posed to all of us, and no exceptions to that, man rabbuk, who is your Lord? And the individual says, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fruits and the blessings that are contained of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually mentioned inside Surah Ibrahim. Because there's a great link between the previous parable we mentioned and today's parable inside Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter, that both of these surahs are surahs of blessings. Inside Surah Ibrahim, Allah mentioned, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ you disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or prior to Allah mentioned, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ if you give thanks to me, indeed I will increase you inside blessings. That is the benefits of giving shukr لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ if you're ungrateful, then indeed my punishment is severe. Because many of us Muslims just think about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rightfully we should. But many times inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the opposite. The opposite of blessings of ni'am is a niqam, is adversities of hardships. Al-Quran bayna zawjain is between two concepts or pairs. Bayna al-jannati wal-nar wal-iman wal-kufr wa bayna al-wa'di wal-wa'id wal-dunya wal-akhirah wal-shamsi wal-qamar was-sama'i wal-ard. That's the two pairs inside the Quran that we find throughout the journey of the Quran, between al-khayr wa-shar, good and evil, between iman and kufr, between this world and the hereafter, bayn al-jannati wal-nar, between paradise and hellfire. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his blessings, he also warns us inside the same ayat that if you become ungrateful, then indeed my punishment is severe. Because sometimes some of us Muslims, we think that we're not going to be exposed to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, in our entirety, we'll never ever be destroyed. It's a supplication that the Prophet alayhi wasallam requested from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this ummah will not be destroyed in its totality. But it doesn't mean there won't be adversities and hardships and difficulties that come upon this Muslim ummah. Trials and tribulations that we find that will come like the darknesses of the night that come upon this Muslim ummah. And we need to remain steadfast. And one reason that many ulama discuss about these calamities, difficulties, is juhud al-ni'm, is to become ungrateful of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately opens up the doors of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the same surah Allah mentioned, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. After a long passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these various blessings he throws upon this Muslim ummah. Upon the world, the night, the day, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon. Then Allah concludes and mentions that if you ask, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ he gives you from everything you ask for. Everything the individual asks for, he responds to it. Surah Rahman, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ every single day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding. Ask. That's what we find, that don't think that to ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forbid, Allah gets tired. Allah doesn't get tired. Allah wants the servant to ask more and more and more, and gives more and more. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhibbul hamd, yuhibbul thana. Allah loves that he's praised. Allah loves that he's worshipped. Allah loves that he's implored, he's called upon. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخَلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ الدَّاخِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call upon me and I will respond to you. Allah is giving this commandment, call upon me, I'll respond to you. Those who are arrogant. Min ma'ani, if arrogance, a person doesn't want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسْأَلَ الْأَمْوَاتِ وَالْقُبُورِ وَالنَّاسِ. Ask the dead, ask the shrines, ask the saints, ask the patrons, ask these people. What can these people do? Rather than a day of judgment, even the حَتَّى الْأَنْبِيَا. Nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. No one can avail you in that day. Everybody in that day will come in a day of judgment further on their own, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what their belief and their connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gives these blessings to us, that He enumerates these blessings upon us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes, إِنَّ لَا تَحْصُوهَا. You can't count these blessings. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Man is oppressive, full of ingratitude. We keep on giving and giving and giving. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask from us? Allah has asked one simple thing from the human being. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. حَقُّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His servants, one single thing He asked us to do, is to worship only Him. وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَهَذَا طَلَبْ. We have no right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But min babi talab is a request that we can request now from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, ya Allah, inside my life, I single you out for worship. I exerted myself throughout my life. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ. Ya Allah, through my life, all my prayers, all my sacrifice, my living and my dying, I was committed to you. I have no right to claim anything from you. Even if I worship you throughout my life, from the beginning to the end, or from the beginning of time to the end of time. ليس لنا أي حق أمام الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولكن هو طلب من الفقير إلى الغني. It's a request from the poor to the all rich Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in these small efforts that I made, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah will never oppress His servants. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives in our paths, we will guide them to the paths of Allah. We will give them that due recompense will be given to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unfair to any individual. Because we can see at the moment when people are asking this question, now people, even non-Muslims, are saying this question, or they're answering this question that's been posed. Why did God create the hellfire? Why did God create paradise and hell? Now you can visualize it. Why Allah has created the hellfire? Their dhulm is apparent on the face of the earth. They don't conceal it. At least a Muslim conceals his sins, conceals himself, has some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people, alanan, they openly, when they make such statements, أَيْنَ رَبُّكُمُ الْآنِ. Where's your Lord now to protect you now? Where's your Lord to protect these masjids that we desecrate, that we dismantle and we bomb and we destroy? Where do you find it in the history of a Muslim to ever dismantle any places of worship that we find? But certain symbols that we find are protected by Muslims. Philistine that we find, the sepulchre church that we find. Who holds the keys to this day? Who holds the keys? Who opens the church every morning and closes it every morning? Do you think the priest opens and closes it? Do you think the Christendom, they come and delegated someone from America, this country, to go there and open that church and close that church? The keys lie with the same family. Generations after generation, when Umar al-Khattab came and liberated Masjid al-Aqsa and keys were delivered to him, that same family today opens that church and closes that church. I don't want to get into technicality. Is that shutting? Is that allowed to open a church and close a church? But I mean, Bab al-Hikmah, wisdom that we find, this is how Muslim enters into hearts of even non-Muslims, of showing a fine character and a belief and a respect for society and humanity, that they can trust us. They can trust us as being as people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we recognize the blessings of Allah. And that is what a Muslim should be. That those blessings that Allah showered upon us, that we should be then trying to shower that upon the people or society around us. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, أَلَمْ تَرَى لَلَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا وَحَلُّوا قَوْمًا دَارَ الْبَوَارِ. It's like the same surah, straight after this parable of the good word and the bad word. Have you not seen the example of those people? بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا. They changed the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into ingratitude. And on top of that, وَحَلُّوا قَوْمًا دَارَ الْبَوَارِ. They exposed their own people to doom. Meaning that when you become ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's the doors of doom are opened up for those people who begin to reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's as we mentioned in the beginning, the great link between Surah Ibrahim and Surah An-Nahl. Because both surahs are full of ni'am. Rather, Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter of the Quran, ulama of tafsir have given it the name of Surah An-Ni'am, the Surah of Blessings. As if the whole surah, if you read through it, is continuously speaking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ayah that occurred inside Surah Ibrahim, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, only occurs again in the Quran inside Surah An-Nahl. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're never going to be able to enumerate them. But on this occasion, Allah concludes mentioning, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah's blessings are so immense that He pardons and He forgives. That if you do derail, He's still going to pardon, He's going to forgive you. Amongst the passages inside the surah that we find that speak about the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, even before this verse, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, is a whole page. There's a whole page that's speaking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah concludes. Other ayat inside the surah, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. لماذا تتكبر على الناس? Any ni'mah that you have, فهو من الله. Anything that you possess inside your life. العلم والجاه والمنصب والرياسة والمال والأولاد والدار. كل ما عندك. هو من الله. So why is there boasting? Everything that you possess is from Allah. Your children, your wealth, your property, your status, your knowledge, everything. Huwa min Allah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu faddalakum ba'dakum ala ba'd fi rizq. Then Allah becomes more explicit. Allah is the one that gives some a rank over other individuals in terms of their rizq, their provision. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This isn't from my own mind, my own logistics, my own skill, my own ability. You could to a certain degree do that. But the ultimate control behind all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He gives some more wealth than others for wisdom that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ja'alakum min anfusikum azwaja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made from amongst your own self spouses. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَةً وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ وَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّيْهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ. Then Allah speaks about spouses. Look at the blessings that Allah gives. From your spouses, He gives you children. وَحَفَدَةً, He gives you grandchildren. And He provides you with provision. وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. So even children, grandchildren, all of this that you find that Arabs used to boast about, even today the world boasts about it, about their lineage and their children. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah concludes the verse by saying, do you reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then again Allah becomes more explicit. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah took you out from the wombs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You don't know anything. وَجَعْلَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah doesn't use the words here, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ here. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. I gave you faculties to hear, to see, to comprehend, to think, to reflect, to ponder, to have empathy, to have sympathy, to think about people. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You be grateful. When you walk past a poor person, you're grateful. You walk past a sick person, you're grateful. You walk past a disabled person, you're grateful. You reflect upon it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ That you may be grateful, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the blessings that He's bestowed upon all of us are so immense that will take our whole lifespan just to reflect and to think about them than rather than to complain about our lives. That look at my state, look at my life, look at what I'm going through. What are we going through in all honesty? What are we going through? A few difficulties at work, a few difficulties with family members, a few difficulties with finances. That's the difficulties that we're going through. The hell, bombed out of hell, these people are what they're going through. But look at their resilience. Look at their patience. Look at their life. To show us that what are you complaining about? They have a right to complain. They have a right to say something. They have a right to express that. What right do we have? But it shows that we are ungrateful people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah mentioned other things inside this surah. Wallahu ja'ala, wallahu ja'ala, so many times. Then He mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَذَلِكَ يُتِمُّ نِعْمَةُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْلِمُونَ Allah completes His favors upon you that you may become submissive. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْرِفُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنْكِرُونَهَا وَأَكْثَرَهُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ Then Allah mentioned that you know the ni'mah of Allah. It's not hidden, but yet you become ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّهُ تَعْبُدُونَ If you're really grateful, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. وَشْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّهُ تَعْبُدُونَ Give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّهُ تَعْبُدُونَ كَأَنَّهُ الْإِشَارَ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَ هُوَ إِظْهَارُ الشُّكْرِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Just not saying Alhamdulillah is good enough. That's basics. Allah mentions inside Surah Al-Baqarah as well, that if you want to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then worship Him. Al-ibadah is the ultimate shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just upon the tongue, that people in speech can say Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's excellent, that's good. But it's the whole of the body that submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are just some of the ayat from these 120 odd verses at Surah Al-Nahl, this Makkah Surah, some verses, a few exceptions being Madinan. Just a few verses that we touched upon, all giving us a basic understanding how much this surah is speaking about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inside this surah, Allah mentions, four parables are mentioned inside this surah. Great discussion amongst ulama tafsir, mention what these amthal, what they speak about. The fourth example is what we want to speak about today, about these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He throws down upon people. Allah gives mention inside this surah that Allah gives this parable of a qarya, aminatan mutma'inna, of a village, of a people in total peace, tranquility. Imam Ibn Kathir or Imam Razi speak about Amma Hadil Qarya, whether these people are the people of Makkah, the blessings that Allah has given to them specifically, or just generally. As we know, is the uslub of the Quran. Because the Quraysh have been given so many blessings that have been given to them. And they're becoming ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find the last portion of the Quran, near enough most of the Juz Amma speak about the Quraysh, especially the last 10 surahs begin to speak about them. To hatta you find surah to Quraysh. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ Who gives you peace, security? وَالشَّرْطْ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ If you want peace and security inside your life, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ So let them worship the Lord of this house, رَبُّ الْكَعْبَةِ Let them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Quraysh, that if you want peace and tranquility to be given to you, or any nation or any people, you need to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside Surah An-Nur, it speaks about, once again, the concept of revival. How will revival be given to this Muslim ummah? وَلْيُبَدِّلَنَّ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا Allah will change your state from fear, state of peace. What's the condition? Again, Allah mentions a condition. It doesn't just drop down from the heavens. Allah lays out the condition, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْئًا You want peace, al-istiqrar, stability in your life, in this world. You want that peace, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associate no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the concept of peace and tranquility that all of us are searching for, the peace, hatta itminan al-qalbiyya, al-ruhiyya, al-iqtisadiyya, al-dawliyya. We want peace in our life, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in the world, in our dealings, in our economic affairs. Islam tackles all of that. When people begin to divide Islam, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that those people who turn away from the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى, they don't stand up except for that individual, يَتَخَبَّدُ شَيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Great discussion, ulama tafsir begin to speak about, some speak, but this proves the point that the jinn can possess the human being. But the general meaning is there about those people who deal inside riba, usury, interest. They stand as if a person, fil hayran, person doesn't know what they're doing inside their life. They've been, the touch of the shaitan is upon them. No peace, no contentment. Look at people who possess billions. There's no peace inside their life. Their whole empire is based upon riba. The world at the moment, even the Muslim world, it's a contentious topic. That's why people don't want to speak about it. Even the Muslim world at the moment is dealing in riba. When people ask that, it's only because we're committing shirk that we're suffering. There's four or five things that Muslim Ummah is doing at the moment. From amongst them is intishar riba. It's a spread of riba in the Muslim world. Saying that riba is just like business. Allah is explicit. Allah says that riba is haram. Business transaction is halal. To such a degree, there's no other powerful verse inside the Quran. That Allah says that those people will deal inside riba and they don't repent. Allah and His Messenger have declared war upon them. Allah and His Messenger declared war. Forget about the other wars in the world. If Allah's declared war upon this Muslim Ummah, war upon us, of course there's going to be no stability inside our lives, no stability in our countries. Because why? We're following things that are breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have the audacity to challenge Allah. That's what the sad thing, we have the audacity to challenge Allah, that we're living in a modern world. How am I going to live? How was you living 100 years ago? How was you living 50 years ago? How was you living? Because they placed it inside our brain and brainwashed us. The only way to live a life is via the riba system. That's the argument that's presented to us. We was living perfectly fine 50 years ago. We had good families. We had good homes. We had peace. We had a structure. We had a good life. Now all of a sudden we've got all these dwellings, we've got everything. But guess what? We've got no peace. We've got no peace left. So this is what we think, that this is going to give us peace. But Allah, the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us peace in every single thing. Peace inside our hearts. So we find, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Remembrance of Allah gives you peace inside your heart. Gives you tranquility. Gives you that peace that when you reflect upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's priceless. That's why many of the companions make this statement. They could find out moments, glimpses of tranquility and peace is ultimate success inside their lives. And likewise inside al-akhirah. يَا أَيَّتُ النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. يَا أَيَّتُ النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ, soul in peace and content. Just like we mentioned, the journey of the soul. When your soul is at peace, at content, you know, this world just becomes like a dream, like a haze. Coming in and out. That's all you see, this world. Your soul is yearning for Darul Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to our souls. A yearn for the Akhirah. Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. Allah is pushing us, calling us to Dar es Salaam, to Jannah, He's calling us. We're clinging to this dunya. Allah is saying, Ta'al. We're saying, no, Allah, give me some more time in this dunya. Let me just have some more good time in this dunya. At the expense of what? Al-akhirah. This dunya is a dip of your finger in the ocean. What clings to your finger is this dunya. You purchased that and you sold the ocean. You lost the ocean. That's what this dunya is. One small speck on my finger. And in my quench, in my thirst for that, I sold the ocean to purchase that speck. And when I lift my finger to place it and look at it in my eyes, or to touch at the tip of my tongue to rejoice, guess what's happened? It's dried up. And then when I look at the ocean, it's evaporated. I've lost it. Khasira dunya wal akhira. I lost the world and I lost the akhira. Ala dhalika wal khusranul mubin. That's the most manifest lost. Lost everything. In my search for this dunya, in my search for trying to find that so-called peace, يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. And I've described this parable of this village, these people, that from every location, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come upon them. There's a hadith in Sunnah, imagine that you find the companion discussing, and the Prophet asked the companion, what are you discussing? They said, we're discussing, we fear poverty. And he said, and he prophesied, I don't fear poverty of this Muslim ummah. I don't fear poverty. It will come upon the people, subban. It will come just being thrown down. Read through history of Muslims. The most richest people on the face of this earth was the Muslim empire. Even today, do you think we lack wealth? Do you honestly think that we lack wealth? That we lack manpower, we lack ability, we lack strength. What do we lack? We lack iman, that's what we lack. That's what we're losing. So when people say that when we're ready, then we will enter into Philistine to help them. When there's enough of us, how many more do you want? 2 billion in number? How many more people do you want? To then say that this is going to be, now's the right time. The answer is simple. We lack the iman. We don't have the iman. We don't have that conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that protects. We don't have that conviction anymore. We can boast about it that I have tawakkal ala Allah, but it's being shown in the world at the moment. 9 months have gone by and people still being passive about we're showing reliance upon Allah. We're showing trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people inside their tents who are campaigning, spending days and nights in the weather, you've seen it in recent days. What are they doing? I don't want to get into the dogma and the theology, what their creed and their belief is. But what are they doing? What are we doing? What do they believe in? They believe in some form of humanity that's made them to rise and to go there and to protest and to divest the investments in universities to take them away from that land. Let's not sit there and discuss the rights and the wrongs about it. Why don't we reflect the opposite side? What am I doing? What are we doing? What are our masjids doing? What is our community doing? The discussion is, what are we now doing about the situation? That's what we should be reflecting upon. Rather than quarreling amongst ourselves, discussing amongst ourselves, looking at this Muslim in this angle from this concept. As I said it many, many times, when these people are slaying and butchering the Muslims there, burning them alive, abusing them, torturing them, do you think that they stop for a split second and ask them what type of Muslim you are? Do you think that? Do you think that innocent child, what are they pushing out to society? A five-year-old child, that they have to now destroy this child. And they're saying it openly. A doctor in Gosh, in Great Ormond Street, said that we brought in more than 150 children from Ukraine, and rightfully so. Rightfully so, because children are innocent. Forget about the conflicts in the world. They brought in 150 Ukrainian children to treat them. The same doctor presented to the senior colleagues and doctors and said, you know, maybe we should bring some Palestinian children out of this conflict and treat them for their wounds. The doctors agreed and said, yeah, we should do that. Because a hospital is a neutral job. A doctor is a neutral person. Doesn't ask you about your creed and your belief and have to treat you. Everything was arranged. But what happened? But inside this country, not a single Palestinian child has been allowed access to this country. Not a single Palestinian child has been brought over to be treated. That shows the double standards. Shows it clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal hypocrisy in the face of this earth. Hypocrisy, as we said, personal hypocrisy is hidden. But the global hypocrisy becomes apparent for people to see it. And the sad thing is that non-Muslims see this hypocrisy more quicker than we even see it inside our lives. Allah brings this blessings upon this nation, upon these people, ragadan, hani'an, sahlan, as Ibn Kathir mentioned, flows easily upon the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah then gives this warning as well. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will open up the heavens and the earth and His barakat will come upon you. But if you become ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take these blessings away from you. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. That's exactly what Allah mentions in this example. They begin to reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reject the Prophet alayhi salam. The Quraysh rejected him. Just like today, many people you speak to about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, we do believe in one God. But we don't believe in this Prophet Muhammad. We don't believe in him. If you don't believe in him, you could do all the good deeds. All the good deeds upon this world. And just believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tadkhulu jannah. You will not enter paradise. You will not enter into paradise. You have to make the two testimonies of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then also believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter into paradise. So Ibn Kathir goes to Tanjah and said that this is the فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They began to reject the blessings of Allah. They began to reject the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he narrates the famous verse from Surah Al-Imran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. One of the greatest favors upon this Muslim ummah is the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَذَاكَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah began to make them taste the clothing of poverty and hunger because of what they earned with their own hands. So Allah is blessing us, blessing the people of Makkah, blessing us Muslims. But when we begin to turn away, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to then, that's what we find in some Muslim countries, destabilization. Dysfunctional countries. Why? Allah mentions in the Quran, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Corruption has appeared upon the land and the ocean, what we do with our own hands. And that's why you find that those countries who do have a stronger concept of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be fair and just, there's more stability. There's more comfort inside that environment who are believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, Allah mentions that sometimes He places these difficulties. أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you see that we test you once or twice in a year that you may repent or turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why the ulama speak about fitan, trials and tribulations. They speak about trials and tribulations, wisdoms and benefits. Read the Risala of Al-Izz ibn Abdissalam, Sultanul Ulama. Speaks about trials and tribulations, wisdoms and benefits. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah uses the same title as well of trials and tribulations, the benefits of them. There are certain things that are in our control. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. What we do is ultimately destined by Allah. Things that we do have an impact on the corruption on the face of the earth. We sin, we find corruption on the earth. That's something that, if you can use the word linguistically, we control that. We're to blame. Even though it's all destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people try to push that upon what's taking place in the world at the moment. The second type of trials and tribulations that sometimes you don't have a say in it. You don't have a say. They just happen. And you have to persevere. And you have to believe in the command of Allah. That is what's happening in Palestine at the moment. They don't have a say in that. They don't have a say that. Some shallow Muslims say, oh, maybe they're sinful, maybe this, they maybe that. That's a discussion way down the ladder. That's way down the ladder. But for them at the moment, the trial and tribulation is one they don't have a say. They need to persevere inside that. And we need to persevere to get to the end goal of success. There wasn't just mutilation of the companions there. It was a mutilation of Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. The mutilation of his uncle. That they mutilated his body. Cut off his ears and his nose and dissected his body. And boasted about it. Boasted about that. You know, and that troubled the Prophet throughout his life. He didn't want to see her. He didn't want to see Wahshi who threw that spear. He didn't want to see his face. Even though he became Muslim, he didn't want to see him because it traumatized the Prophet ﷺ. His beloved uncle was tortured in that manner. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him, reconciling him. وَلَيْنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَوَ خَيْرُ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. Be patient. Be patient inside your life. The end of Surah Ali Imran. يَا يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Be patient. Be committed in your patience. Warabitu, persevere. Go through sufferings, hardships. Wattakullah, fear Allah. That you may become successful individuals in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, Bisabri wal yaqeen tanalu al imama fi deen. Via patience and yaqeen and certainty, you become leaders. You become leaders over people via your patience, your intelligence, your control of the situation makes you leaders amongst people, amongst society. And in conclusion, we find that going back that Allah mentioned, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا, if only the people of the village, they believe that when we become ungrateful or we become so content inside our lives, what does Allah mention straight after this? Inside Surah Al-Araf, Allah mentioned, أَفَأَمِنْ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتٍ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Do people think that the punishment of Allah will not come in the night while they're sleeping? Do people think, أَفَأَمِنْ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا دُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Do people think that the punishment of Allah won't come while it's in the forenoon time they're busy playing, enjoying their life? أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Muslim never feels safe. He's always worried inside their life. Just as we began with, just like the blessings, worried about the punishment of Allah. That have I done something that's exposed me to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why Surah Al-Mu'minun mentioned about those individuals, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشَّةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. A long passage of description of the Mu'minun. The Aisha, her mother, asked this question, is it regarding those people who done bad deeds? That Allah that is praising these believing individuals, they think their charity won't be accepted, they won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? He said no. He's referring to those people who do believe, but they fear their actions are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's who it refers to. Who are doing these good deeds and their fear is not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in conclusion that we find, that don't become content. Because the dunya leads us to contentment, to think to leave things to another day, complacency. Leave everything to bukra, ghadan. Tomorrow, another day. When I become at your age, when I become 50, 60, when I've got one foot in the grave, I will repent, I will turn back, I'll become a good Muslim, I'll perform hajj, then I'll become observant inside my prayers. وَكَمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ لَا يَبْلُغُونَ ذَلِكَ. How many people never get to that? How many people never get to that? Don't take it for granted that when I've done everything inside my life, then at the end of my life, not that we wish that for anyone, that then at the end of my life, then I'll become a person who's devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not quite how it works. Even this thought, this concept, we need to eradicate it from our mind. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that thought. Allah knows that thought that we carry inside our mind that sometime inside my life, when I find the right moment in my life, I'm searching for that right moment to submit to Allah. When I find that right moment, then I'll give up everything. That right moment may never come for many of us. That's why to be consistent inside our life. Look at Allah praises Ibrahim alayhi salam at the end of this surah. Inna Ibrahim was what? Qanitan. He was observant, committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentioned, shakiran li an'umihi. He was grateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life. So Allah selected him and chose him and gave him goodness well and gave inside the akhirah. Inside the same surah Allah mentions, whoever does good in this world, whether it be male or female, will give them a good life. We'll give them a good life inside this dunya. And whilst we're living inside this dunya, what should we be doing? Allah concludes the surah by saying, are we supposed to be living this dunya by making more of this dunya? Enjoying this dunya? Allah says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hi ahsan." While you're in this dunya, you're supposed to be calling people to Allah. Bil hikmah, wisdom, wal maw'idati al hasana. If you've got the wealth, you've got the property, you've got this, use it to call people to Allah. That's what you should be doing. You've got the time, you've got the health, you've got the ability. Udu ila sabili rabbika, call to your Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the end that we find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah is with those people who have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, those who do good. So that's what the people of ni'am, of blessings are. They recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they use them. They use them to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help other people come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue showering His blessings upon us and the rest of this Muslim Ummah and the Muslim Ummah that's going through this hardship and this difficulty, to alleviate them, take away this hardship and the difficulties.